RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to have Joe as part of the program. Not looking back on Golden Slipper Day today, Joe. Hopefully we can do that next week. Importantly, before we get stuck into the topics for today, how are the conditions prevailing where you are with so much rain widespread across New South Wales?
Good morning, Warren. From a rain-sodden New South Wales, not as bad where I am as it is on the more coastal regions, that's for sure. Quite extraordinary, wasn't it, to the imagery that we saw posted through social media over the past 24 hours from horse properties around the region, to Sydney. Of course, the meeting yesterday at Rosehill was postponed. There is a lot of water. It's been dubbed officially a disastrous event by the government in New South Wales, and we're bracing for more rain over the next couple of days.
Let's hope that it does subside as the week progresses and things can get back to a little bit of normality. But as you said, some disturbing scenes and houses floating down flooded rivers in northern New South Wales. Just heartbreaking and devastating for people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And Edinburgh Park, which is situated towards the coastal side of New South Wales, quite a well-known horse stud run by Ian Smith. They posted some footage yesterday of their property, which is located near the Manning River, and they have never seen anything like it. It's quite frightening, actually. Fast-moving floodwaters are terrifying for anybody, especially with livestock, but fortunately all of their horses on the stud farm are safe at this point in time. Albeit we're getting carried away with all of this drama around the floods, but I tell you what, to think where we were just over 12 months ago, particularly in New South Wales, with the severe drought taking effect, we should always be grateful for rain.
Absolutely, it's much needed. It's just sometimes it's the rationing of it, and when you don't necessarily get the amount you want when you do need it. But in general, you're right, particularly for rural communities, rain is needed. No Group 1 pedigrees to look at from Sydney yesterday, obviously, but Friday night at Moonee Valley, an exciting win by Masked Crusader in the William Reid, Joe.
Yeah, great night of racing at Moonee Valley, wasn't it? A Group 1 meeting to see in what was to be a huge day in Sydney. That wasn't to be, but Masked Crusader taking out the feature race there under lights, capping off what's been a great run of success for Swettenham Stud Stallion Coronado, who he is by. And Adam Sangster is our special guest on the segment this morning. Morning to you, Adam. Congratulations. Great to see Coronado really starting to fire on the track.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning to all your listeners. And obviously our feelings go out to everybody in northern New South Wales. But Friday night was really capping. It was very to see Masked Crusader do what he did. I know the Hawks team and Rupert Lee and certainly Rick Jamieson had tremendous faith in this horse. And they always said he was exceptional. They've sort of earmarked him for some pretty senior races coming up in the future. And they just said his turn of foot, and he just he showed so much promise when he was a younger horse. And as I say, he is lightly raced, but he certainly showed it on Friday night. And he's a horse who just misses the start a little bit, but my gosh, Rick Jamieson always said, listen, in two strides, he will always, he's just got the speed. And, Rick, talking your pedigrees, Rick has always, said to me at Toronado, he said, there's certain lines which he breed this stallion to, and he could be a superstar. And, of course, Rick has proved this with many a time with his Group 1 winners, and he aims to get 25 Group 1 winners, individual ones by the time he meets the creator, and he's certainly on his way with a number of them. But with Toronado breeding with for Masked Crusader, it's certainly the century, and to add that sharpen up, sharpen up speed into Toronado's pedigree, and that usually comes through sort of invincible spirit. I'm invincible. And to have century in it, which includes obviously Danehill Dancer Choisir, and he said that is the key. And my gosh, to see him to come through on Friday night was an enormous joy. So thank you.
Yeah, No, it was fantastic to see. He's such a beautiful horse himself, Toronado, and I remember when you first brought him down to Australia, he was one of those horses jaw-dropping to look at, and it's great to see that he is now getting these results with 3- and 4-year-olds. Not a 2-year-old sire, although he was a very good 2-year-old himself. Bred by Gilguy Farm, Masked Crusader, as you highlighted, and the fact that Rick decided to retain a share in this horse says a lot about what he must have thought of Masked Crusader as a youngster growing up on his property.
That's right. He was always an incredibly sort of a good walk, and all the Toronados have that sort of that great walk. I mean, he himself, Toronado's got that sort of that muscle definition, and as Richard Hannon always called him, he said, "Listen, how's Superman?" And he just built very strongly, and it's that his pedigree. I mean, being by High Chaparral out of a Grand Slam there, but that's the American sort of side where the speed comes in, and the dam is basically quite closely related to Rightfully Yours, which is Heart of Dreams. So got a lot of Australian flavour in there, Joe, and the breeders have come to this stallion, and they really sort of have respected him, and certainly Al Shakab, who owned the horse, owned the stallion, they've been very good to the breeders and made sure that they've people get a few, it's all about getting a few puffs and a cigar and keeping people in the business, and they've been very good like that, and got on the meet and standing him, and he's at the moment he's in France at their operation at Harris de Bouquetot, and of course the French are very excited for what happened over the weekend, and in fact he had two winners in France on Friday as well. So, but he's got a big weekend coming up, Joe, with Mr. Toronado in the Hong Kong today. He's got, as you say the Prince of Sussex, who was a 2-year-old winner of the Vobis Showdown for Matt Laurie a couple of years ago. He's running now under Lucky Express, and he's into the Derby today. And then there's Master Montero, who David Hayes has trained, and he's had four starts for 2 wins up in Hong Kong, and he steps out over a mile today. And his figures in Hong Kong are exceptional. He's only had 7 runners for 4 winners, and that's where a lot of the colts and geldings have gone up to. I think there's about 12, 14 who've already been sold up to Hong Kong. So Toronado is doing an exceptional job down here in Australia, and to have Masked Crusader win the way he does. But I think it's important to just point out that his fillies, High Chap fillies, haven't really come through, but certainly with Toronado they have. He's had a number of stakes horses. Obviously, still a star and a fair to remember Group 2 and the good multiple listed winner in Perth, Solaris. And so there's a good, very good future for him. And yesterday it was sort of capped off with Laborod, who the late Phil Sly bred, and was sold as a weanling, a good weanling, his first year, Toronado, out of a fast step mare to Brett Howard, and then Brett Howard twisted it through Cornwall to be bought by the Dailies in Western Australia, and of course won the 1200 metre Hariba yesterday at Mornington. So it's certainly been a very good weekend for Toronado so far.
Yeah. Looking at Laborod, the horse that won the Hariba Stakes at Mornington yesterday, as a yearling, it was sold for $270,000, Adam, when offered by the Coolmore Stud Draft at Easter 2018. He was a lovely, strong type of horse then.
He was a really lovely, strong type of horse. And that's, he certainly had his admirers, and it was just with these stallions from overseas, it's always good to get a good weanling or good yearling out into the market, so that the judges can actually sort of see what sort of type of horse these international stallions do throw. But we were very lucky that the High Chaparral line has been working so well down here, and I for one remember when Coolmore kindly asked me if I'd stand High Chaparral back in 2004, and sadly, Joe, I pulled the wrong rein. I did do a survey on all my breeders, and I still got the notes now. When I phoned them up, they said, "You can't stand the Son of Saddle as well, Keelan, but I suppose we would never have got same thing, but Coolmore's doing a very good job, really good job. And of course, Arafil Dunbeal's doing a good job. So that High Chaparral line down here is working. In Europe, they don't want him. You know, he's on the nose up there, and which is incredible. It's this breeding industry and racing industry never surprises me. It's always an interesting day. It's never a dull moment in our industry. As we see, but we're just lucky to have Toronado, and he will be coming back. But of course, his fee will be going up because what we will do with him, he got 180 mares in foal last season, and really what we've done with him, we've managed him so that he is going back to Europe. He will be a fresh horse until we've managed his actual covering time, because it's about the welfare of the horse, made sure that we look after him. And Al Shikab in France were very particular on this, quite rightly, and they could be happier. But what we're going to do this year is increase his service fee and bring his numbers down to try and get around about 120 in foal rather than 180. He's now got the troops on the ground, or he will have more troops on the ground, and certainly in 2019 he got 150 in foal as well. So we know the lines which do work, so we're going to be quite particular. Look after standing up for longevity, and make sure that all the breeders get a win, and hopefully his track performance continues there, Jack.
That's great to hear. The priority given there to the welfare of the horse. It's hard work for these stallions covering big books of mares. There's no question about that. Well, Adam, you might feel that you pulled the wrong rein with the High Chaparral decision, but a son of is now flying the flag, and that seems to be, as you've highlighted with So You Think as well, the way that they are going here in Australia. So what Toronado yesterday, Lavrod becoming his 11th stakes winner. It's a great outcome. Now, he's got two lots entered at the Inglis Easter yearling sales. No doubt the interest will be even higher on them now following the week of success he's had on the track.
Yes, that's right. There's only one now, so this is Master Montaro's full brother, and he's a lovely walking horse. He's Coolmore's consigning him, and he's flashing. He's got four white socks, and he's a proper job, and he will create some attention, and certainly you'd hope that. That Hong Kong would be looking at him there, but it's just we're lucky to have English has allowed us to put one in, and Tom Magnus has been very kind to consign him for us, and onwards and upwards there, Joe. So he's on day two. He's 10 lots in on day two, and he'll certainly have his certainly be one of the highlights.
No question about that, Adam. And getting you to quickly put on your TBA Oz horse, Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria hat for a second. The big changes announced for Victorian breeding in recent times, with Widden Stud deciding to invest in the state and take over the old Sun Stud. A huge shot in the arm for the industry.
It is an endorsement for Victoria, and to have Anthony Thompson down here and bring some highly credible stallions down, he will do very well here. I think he's great for Victoria. They're 152 years old, certainly the stud, and Anthony and his team are great bloke, and he's taking on a lot of the Sun Stud staff and stallions, and I think it's what Victoria needs. And Victoria has got their stallions are really firing at the moment with the way things are going, with Shames and Ward and with Frosted, and what Woodside have done. So it's a very exciting time for Victoria. And just now, I think with the sales of which have just been, was I think pound for pound, Adelaide was probably the strongest sale so far. But I think people who've made money should reinvest in the industry. We've got the prize money is so strong down here in Australia, and with all the breeding incentives, Joe, that it's actually it's a great return on investment, far more than anywhere else around the world, where you can actually race horses. Obviously, in Japan and Hong Kong, it's sort of more of a closed shop. But certainly, our broodmare stock and younger stock, it's the time to invest in bloodstock and, you know, making the right decisions, going to the right farms like Widden and others. You can certainly sort of get your return on investment and actually have some fun at the same time, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it sure is, Adam. Thanks for joining us this morning from a much drier place than New South Wales at the moment. Our thoughts, as you say, do go out to the breeders and horse people that are under flood at the moment. And let's hope that the rest of the Sydney Carnival can roll on as now planned, with everything put back a week.
Absolutely, Joe. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for your listeners.
That's Adam Sangster there joining us this morning to discuss many things, including the performance of their leading stallion, Toronado, racking up his 11th stakes winner yesterday at Mornington in the Hariba Stakes, with Laverode winning. So great to see that stallion is starting to get some really serious results on the board.
And as Adam highlighted, Joe, very marketable to Hong Kong, which then probably creates a bit more competition when the lots are going through the sale ring. So that's only a positive if you are, you know, if you're a stallion that's a little bit flavour of the month in Hong Kong. That's going to add a little bit of spice to any auctions and any yearling sales. And Toronado's performance, we've touched on it, and a great few weeks for Rupert Lee's colours with the Mornington Cup yesterday, the William Reid Friday night, and Toronado no doubt the highlight from a pedigree perspective, Joe, on Friday night.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned yesterday's Mornington Cup winner, Mount Popa, which carries the same colours as Masked Crusader, the winner on Friday night at Group 1. But this particular horse is a six-year-old gelded son of Maxios, an imported horse. He was never out of a place in 10 starts in France when he was there trained by Pascal Barry for the Niarchos family. And then he was purchased for €200,000 at the 2019 Arcana Autumn Sale in Deauville after coming off a win in the listed Randwick City Stakes. So interesting story behind him. This horse is one of three stakes winners now for Coolmore Studs Monsun Stallion Maxios.
Yeah, and obviously now securing a spot in the Caulfield Cup. Interesting being on course yesterday, Joe. He's not an imposing, brutal style of horse. He's a very athletic style of horse. And I'll have a chat to Wayne Hawkes in the next half hour or so. Be interested to see if they think he'll even develop and furnish a bit more, or whether he's going to be that style of horse. But he's not and bred to get over ground, and looks like he'll get over ground. So you wouldn't expect him to have a sprinter's physique, so to speak. But he was very athletic style of horse and quite fine, setting eyes on him at Mornington yesterday.
Yeah, no question about that. And another highlight yesterday, Warren, across the Tasman, where Group 1 racing did continue, and we had the running of the New Zealand Oaks at Trentham. And Savabeel brought up his 22nd Group 1 winner, Warren, with Amorina too good there. The Jamie Richards trained at Philly was expected to dominate proceedings after winning four of her last five starts.
Yeah, she's been a bit of a dominant filly there, hasn't she? And competed very well against the boys. I think toe to toe with Aegon at Ellerslie on that Karaka Millions Day. So she's obviously highly talented. I did see Mick Guerin put out a tweet, just a word of warning that there's no guarantee that she will head over to Sydney for the carnival and the Oaks there. Just perhaps bide a bit of time there with the weather and the way the tracks are in Sydney. Not necessarily guaranteed to head to Sydney for this carnival, but I think in time we'll see her over here, and she does look exciting, Joe.
Yeah, she certainly does. She was purchased by David Ellis for $300,000 out of the Waikato stud draft during the 2019 Karaka Sales Book 1 there. She's now had five wins from seven starts and amassed prize money of just over $500,000 for her owners, the Tiako Hop and Skip and Jump Syndicate. Interesting name for that particular group. As I said, bred by Waikato stud, she becomes the 22nd individual Group 1 winner for their resident Super Sire Savadier.
Yeah, I Don't know how it's structured over there, Joe, absolutely. But what David Ellis does do, obviously, he's the front man for Tiako and obviously a key part of the organisation. Jamie Richards, just an outstanding trainer. But through their syndications, Hop, Skip and Jump, as you outlined it, they get a lot of everyday New Zealanders involved in racing, which I think helps foster and develop the success of Tiako.
Oh, without question. And that story continues through Melody Bell, the best horse racing in New Zealand at the moment. She races for the Fortuna Syndicate, and the owners involved there are just largely your everyday people. You know, in humble little towns scattered across New Zealand, they're all part of this now iconic racehorse in New Zealand, which is just fantastic to see. And what happens when people like that get involved in ownership of a racehorse is they spread the word positively to other everyday New Zealanders and Australians and encourage them to get involved. And it doesn't matter whether you're in it for 1%, 2% or 100%. It's all about being part of the journey. And the more people we get involved in this great sport, the better it is for everybody involved.
Certainly is, Joe, and hopefully this time next week we're talking about the five Group 1s at Rose Hill, that the Golden Slipper's been run and won. We're off to Bendigo for Golden Mile Day here in Victoria next Saturday. But importantly, Joe, stay safe, and as yourself and Adam said, we're just wishing the best to all the people affected by these extreme conditions in New South Wales and hoping that they get through safely.
Thanks a lot, Warren. There's no doubt about this great country of ours. Is there, what is it, the land of weeping plains and flooding rains.
Talk next week, Joe.
All right.